This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More than $100 billion in pandemic help for business has just been frozen by the calendar. I'm David Brancaccio. There is still money left in the Paycheck Protection Program, about $130 billion federal dollars to help smaller businesses keep workers employed. But the deadline to apply for aid has just come and gone, which means, unless Congress acts, that money will be left unused. So last night, with the deadline nearing, there was some congressional movement on this, but the issue's not yet been resolved. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here. Nova, what happened last night, first of all?
Well, right. So, David, as you mentioned, the deadline to apply to get a loan under the Paycheck Protection Program was the end of June. Now we're in July. And yes, there is still money left. And Congress and the Trump administration have not yet figured out what to do with that money. Then last night, Maryland Senator Ben Cardin, a Democrat, got on the Senate floor and said this.
The authority of the Small Business Administration to approve any more Paycheck Protection Program loans expires at midnight tonight.
And that was just a few hours before the expiration date. And Cardin went on to say that Congress had set an end of June deadline because of a key assumption.
We thought by the end of June that our economy would be back on track and we would not need to have additional applications after that date. Well, a lot has changed.
Needless to say, a lot has changed since March when they initially created the $670 billion program. Cardin asked for a unanimous consent vote to extend the deadline through August 8, and it passed.
Okay. Now, the House and the Trump administration would have to agree to this. What's the likelihood?
Well, we know they want to do something. The question is whether they just pass a simple extension or make further modifications. Some have called for allowing some businesses to take out a second PPP loan. Others want the hardest hit businesses to kind of have dibs for the rest of the money, hotels, restaurants, and the like. So the various sides still have some details to hammer out.
All right, Nova, thank you. Wirecard. It is the digital payment system that spent much of the year denying its accounting had problems. Earlier this month, the accountants could not find $2 billion and said it looks like foul play. The stock crashed. The CEO quit. The CEO was arrested and released. The company entered bankruptcy protection. Today, 33 police and 12 prosecutors searched Wirecard's headquarters in Munich and other company properties. Wirecard and its former CEO, Marcus Braun, were icons of Germany's tech industry. Wirecard's a little like PayPal or Apple Pay, only missing $2 billion. Dow Future is currently down 156 points. That is 0.6%. The S&P Future down 0.4%. 36 suburbs of Australia's second biggest city, Melbourne, are about to go back into lockdown today, given a high coronavirus infection rate. Penalties for violating lockdowns are high there. From Sydney, here's the BBC's Phil Mercer.
The Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews is warning that the pandemic won't be over for a long time. He's blamed failures in the hotel quarantine system for Australian travellers returning from overseas for many new COVID-19 cases. More than 300,000 people in Melbourne will face restrictions when dozens of suburbs are once again placed into lockdown. They face fines if they leave home without a good reason. Residents from those virus hotspots are also banned from crossing the state border into New South Wales. If they do, they could face heavy penalties, including up to 6 months in prison.
Phil Mercer covers Australia for our editorial partner at the BBC. Now, there's Pizza Hut and Wendy's, and then there's NPC International, the biggest franchise operator of Pizza Hut and Wendy's locations. Well, NPC has filed for bankruptcy protection, Chapter 11, and will keep running more than 1,200 Pizza Huts and 385 Wendy's while debt is reorganized.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks.
As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Today up north is the midsummer holiday Canada Day, which naturally brings us to maple syrup. Around 70% of the world's maple syrup production comes from the forests of Canada, mostly Quebec, but climate change, Emma Jacobs reports.
Mark McDonough's Montreal shop carries 360 different maple-flavored products, from maple butter to maple mustard to three kinds of maple-based salad dressing.
Here in Quebec, we always kind of joke around saying we have maple in our blood.
The store belongs to a co-op of 2,000 maple syrup producers, mostly small family operations, that harvest sap from sugar maple trees during a short period in spring when conditions are just right.
We're always at the mercy of Mother Nature and the temperatures.
And scientists say rising global temperatures could affect the tree's entire life cycle, from sap production to reproduction. Nicolas Bélanger runs experiments on sugar maples in test forest plots. To simulate climate change, he thins the snow during winter and heats the soil up in summer using cables underground.
The issue is really with the small guys, with the seedlings.
Just a couple degrees warmer, he says, and sugar maple seedlings dry right up.
So overall, seedling survival is lower under warm soil than under normal conditions.
Sugar maple's ideal temperature range could move farther north, but the trees would have to deal with new competitors, different soils, and different nutrient conditions. And if sugar maples don't thrive, that could be a huge loss, says Lenore Newman of the University of the Fraser Valley, who wrote a book on Canadian foods.
Of the many climate-related crises we're facing, it's maybe not the most critical, but it's one that hurts, and it strikes at our identity.
The one bright spot in the research on Canada's landscape is that another maple species, red maple, may adapt better to climate change. But its sap doesn't contain as much sugar, so producers would need a lot more to make maple syrup. And that means the country's future culinary landscape could still become a lot less sweet. In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
The economy is arguably changing more radically right now than at any time since the Second World War. Subscribe to our daily newsletter as a guide. Sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.